Okie dokie dokie dokie. What's up? Hey guys, how's it going? How's everyone doing? It's People Pleaser with Austin Archer. Wow, we're doing it another week. I think this is episode 75? That's crazy, right? Nice round number, 75. Speaking of nice round numbers, your boy went over 200,000 this week on TikTok. Not that anyone cares, but I'm saying it. I don't know what, it's arbitrary, right? I might as well get excited about the fact that I'm now at like 205,000 and like 200 or something. But it's those nice round numbers that people like to celebrate for no reason in particular. The beginning of a new decade when it's your age. No one cares that I'm 33, but 30? That's a big deal. 35? That's halfway through your 30s. 40? Ooh, boy, you've been around for four decades? You're like thirty is like the when you're officially really for real an actual adult. It's the very beginning of your adulthood. 40 is the very beginning stage. It's like the 20s of being an older person. So your 20s is like the 20s of being an adult. You're like, I'm an adult, but everyone else is like, no, you're not. You're in your 20s. You're like, I have a job. I pay taxes. I'm an adult. Everyone's like, okay, but you're in your 20s. And then your 30s, they're like, okay, you're an adult, you know. But then your 40s, you're like, I'm an adult. And everyone's like, also, you're like at the beginning of being old. You just don't know it. I feel like I'm already at the beginning of being old. I feel my body feels tired and worn down. But yeah, 30s is still, it's like, you know, it's the last decade that you're still like thought of by older people as a younger person. 40s is the beginning decade of this is, how did I get on this? I was talking about round numbers. 75, I think, is what this episode is. 200,000 on TikTok. And speaking of numbers, I launched a Patreon, y'all. I launched a Patreon for this stuff that I do, for the TikToks, for all the internet content, for the music, for the podcast. So how about that? How about that? Now this is a podcast that when you listen to it, it's going to have a Patreon segment, just like all your other favorite podcasts. And, you know, I think everyone says this about their supporters. I think everyone feels like they have the best fans, supporters, whatever you want to call them, listeners, audience members in the world. It's kind of like on Mother's Day when everyone's like, I know that everyone thinks they have the best mom in the world, but I actually have the best mom in the world, and everyone says that on social media. You know, I genuinely think I have the best. Nicole Beer in the chat on TikTok just suggested comrades. Let's go with comrades, since all of the people on the right assume that's what we call ourselves anyway. But I think I have the best comrades in the world. Because I launched this Patreon yesterday. As of the time that I'm recording this, I launched this Patreon yesterday, and listen to the list of names I already have to list off to say thank you so much for supporting this show. Listen to this. Launched this thing yesterday, and thank you so much for your patronage and helping this show exist, helping me to continue to make content and continue to have this be a viable way to bring in income. Thank you so much to Patty Lynn, Elizabeth Gardner-Wellman, Amanda with no last name, just Amanda, thank you, Dave Abbott, Wrongtown. Don't know who that is. The name was just Wrongtown. It says Troy at wrongtown.org. So Troy at Wrongtown. Thank you. Ken McLaughlin. Thank you. Carla Macias. Thank you. Paula Habrich. Thank you so much. Julie. Again, no last name. Just J-U-L-I. Julie. Thank you. Smurf McGurf. I'm positive that's not your actual name. But Smurf McGurf. Thank you. Matthew Fouts. Michael Tam, Helen Morton, Caitlin Hescock, Mateo, no last name, just Mateo, Samuel Johnson, Carrie, a.k.a. Kiba13, who we know from TikTok, thank you so much, Allie Funtimes, who we know from TikTok, thank you so much, Mike and Julie Archer, who are my parents, but they love me and they're very supportive, and thank you very much, you guys, you didn't have to do that, thank you so much, Greg Crew, Kyle Elise Tim, Jason Shellen, Scott, no last name, King Taylor Project, which is a whole ass band that's supporting me on Patreon. Thank you so much. Lisa Malcolm, Kels, no last name, Alalia, A-E-L-A-L-E-A, Alalie? Thank you. David Clement, Daniel Telford, Natalie, Sean Mann, Inez, no last name, and Jessica Flynn. How about that list, y'all? What? That's where we're at after day one of the launch of the Patreon. So hey, if you're listening to the show right now and you've always thought maybe you want to support what it is that I do, the TikTok content, the music videos, whatever, you can go over to patreon.com/AustinArcher and sign up and be a patron and support this show. You don't have to. It's totally okay. But if you have the means and you are so inclined and you would like to become a producer of this online variety show, you now can. So thank you so much to all of my new patrons. That is so exciting, and I am just overwhelmed by your generosity and your support. While we're on the tip of engaging with the listeners, let's head over to Apple Podcasts for an old segment that we haven't done in a while, but I've been trying to revive. There's a segment on this show where if you go onto Apple Podcasts and rate this podcast 5 stars, got to rate it 5 stars, and then write me a review, I will review you back. I will read the review on the air and review you back. It works like this. So this is a review from Pansexual Wizard. Awesome. The title says, pretty cool. 5 stars. Got to have 5 stars. This show punches way above its weight. Definitely jump around. No need to listen in order. That's the whole review. I'm going to tell you what I like about this review. I'm going to review this review back. First of all, I like the screen name, Pansexual Wizard. Like it, dig it, like the pansexual and wizard are both capitalized. It's the details. Second of all, I like the title. I like that this person's not trying to overdo it. I like that they're not trying to oversell this review. I like that it's just pretty cool. And that seems about right for People Pleaser. I wouldn't say this podcast is phenomenal. This podcast is the best podcast you will ever listen to. I would say it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool show. And then just really simple. You know what? This show punches way above its weight. It's one of those shows that you think is going to be kind of like a simple, low energy, low effort ordeal. And then you get to it and you're like, you know what? There's been some care and some attention paid to the details on this show. It's better than you think it's going to be. So I really like this. And I also like the pointing out that there's definitely no need to listen in order and you can jump around. I did intentionally structure the show that way. I wanted people to be able to just sort of listen to, you could hit shuffle on Apple Podcasts and it wouldn't matter. It's not necessarily meant to be listened to in chronological order. This is a great review. Thank you so much. You can have your review read and reviewed on the show. Go to Apple Podcasts, rate this show 5 stars, leave us a review. And I'll read. You could literally rate the show 5 stars and then roast me, just destroy the show and write like a terrible review. And if it's a 5-star rating, I'll read it. But that's how that segment works. So thank you to those people. We've even got some more rolling in that I'm going to read in the coming weeks. But let's get to the show, shall we? Let's get to the meat of today's episode. We're here. We're live on TikTok on Sunday. And I can tell that the people in the comments are ready and eager to get to the TikTalk portion of the show. I don't have a written fancy segment today, but I can tell you that today I'm talking to my new business partners, Kristen Wagner and John Moon. You can find Kristen on social media platforms, on Instagram and on TikTok. At Kristen_Wags, and you can find John on Instagram and TikTok at Blonde Goblin. Two very funny and prolific creators in their own right, but yeah, we started a business together. We were literally strangers a few short months ago, and now we're business partners. So our company is called Creatorhood, and it's the three of us run it. We have a stable of regular creators who create content for us, but we're making internet content for different brands on TikTok right now. And that's what we're doing. The three of us were just making TikToks on our own in our bedrooms, and now we have a company. And I've been trying to explain to you know, my family and my friends what it is that I'm doing for work right now. And it's like hard for me to explain. And so I thought I'd have, let's have John and Kristen on the show and let's see if they're any better at explaining it than me. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it is that we do and why we like doing it and what we think this means for the future of marketing and of the entertainment industry as a whole and new media and what this means for new media creators and the opportunity to sort of cultivate and create a middle class for new media artists. And that's what we're talking about today. So from a Blanket Fort recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer. And today I'm talking with my new business partners, John and Kristen, about our company, Creatorhood. Let's do this. Let's start off with each of you telling me a little bit about yourself. Because this is one thing is we work together and we've been working together for several months now. And we are like partners in a like new business. And it's like, I don't know who you guys are. When I try to explain this to people, in my family, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's like this guy like wanted to start a thing and he asked me and another person if we would do it too. And then we're doing it. And now it's a little company that it's three of us and and they're like, who are these people? I'm like, they're just these people from the internet.
That's literally the same exact description that I tell everyone else in my life too, because I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. It's me, it's another person, and a third person. I've never met them. They're all the way on the other side of the country. And we just do some stuff, and you know, it's working, and you know, that's all I got. Oh, and TikTok, that has something to do with it too.
Okay, let's start with you, John, since you were sort of like the thing that got that united the clans and got the team together.
Okay,
tell me about yourself before all this, and
oh wow,
then how this all came to be.
Okay, well, I don't like to think I'm very interesting, but it's possible. I don't know. I'd like
you should have told me that before we started recording. We can stop this right now if you want.
Yeah. No. Thanks for having me on. I'll see it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys. This was great.
Basically, you know, I grew up, you know, around music. I grew up in a big family. I have six siblings, all older than me. So, you know, I grew up in just listening to a lot of old music, and I was put into like piano and drum lessons at a really young age. So that was kind of like my life, you know, as a kid, was just being as involved as I could with like any type of music group, theater thing. You know, I didn't really do theater or drama until high school, but music related, you know, I tried to be as involved as I could. And then when I went to college, it's kind of just what I was good at. And so I graduated with a music degree in percussion. And after that, I'm like, this is great. I'm going to, you know, do this for the rest of my life. And so I tried doing some stuff like studio related after college, and that didn't really work out. And I became like super discouraged and, you know, kind of dropped the whole music thing for a while, and was working in restaurants for like 5 years, and that drains you and that's miserable. And I hated it. So, so I was doing that up until COVID last year. And you know, during everything shut down, obviously, so everything was kind of messed up. So I started getting back into doing creative stuff again. And you know, I bought a little MIDI keyboard, set that up to my laptop, was starting to make like just songs again on Logic. Just discovering all of, like the new modern technology that was like free and available to people who wanted to like make music and create. And it's so different than it was 5 years ago. So I don't know. I started, you know, fooling around, and I knew that, you know, TikTok was a thing. But I just knew that like social media in general was like super important for people who wanted to like get anything, any of their stuff out there. So I just started making songs, and that kind of turned into like videos. And then, you know, that I wanted to, I don't know, see what type of TikTok content worked for me. And I didn't really know where that was going to take me, but I did a couple comedy related like music videos back in the fall. And yeah, so and then the kind of the rest is history. I just started, a couple went viral, and then, you know, a couple brands started reaching out to me to do videos. And then, you know, the whole idea of that, like, creators and people who have a passion for something can almost like make money doing it, like, solely, you know. And especially with COVID, people had to be really creative with like how to like get by and make money. And there's a lot of really talented people out there, and there's the resources that are available are like super, you know, modern and just easy to use. So it was crazy. So I took that idea and I'm like, how can I help other creators like do the same thing I'm doing, but also like connect them with brands who like need this type of content made? And that's where this whole thing was born. But
I think it's cool that you decided to go that direction, because that's literally not even where my head was at. I think all three of us at the same time were sort of having the same thing happening, where like more and more different brands were starting to reach out, and more opportunities to like monetize the whole game were arriving. But I was just thinking like Austin Archer Inc. Like, I was just like, well, how am I gonna like make the Austin Archer brand like viable for the next few years? How do I make turn this into a career? I think it's cool that you were like, oh, well, I should like bring in teammates. I should like bring in, surely the same thing is happening to other creators right now, and I should see how many of them want to get together and sort of form a team to tackle as many of these different deals as we can, so that we can like actually, you know, maximize our cash flow.
Yeah,
you have that business mind.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's been cool. Like, I didn't know either whether it was going to turn into like me and my personal brand. Like, I was going to, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll be like a touring musician. Like, once this is all like, you know, once this all clears up, like, I'm a huge like Marc Rebillet Loop Daddy fan. And so I was doing like loop stuff, you know, with like my RC505, which is like exactly what he has. I got it because of him. I'm like, I'm gonna do this.
Is that,
I'm like,
is that how you say it? Rebillet?
Rebillet, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which that's a lot of people get.
That's one of those names like Hozier. I talked about this on the podcast recently. We were talking about that someone said his name is Hozier. That's how you pronounce it. It's Hozier. I was like, I was asking someone in my comments, because we were on the live, and I was like, how do you say that? And someone spelled it out, Hozier. And I was like, yeah, I don't like that either. Like, I don't like.
I was always the Hozier girl.
Yeah.
I just liked how it sounded.
I don't like any of them. Yeah. I'm like, it always makes me feel like I'm saying it wrong, no matter what I say. And that's how his last name's the same. Because I'm like, if I say Rebillet, that's obviously wrong. And then if I say Rebillet, I'm like, oh, you know, I feel so ridiculous.
I've watched like enough interviews from him of like people like having him to correct people that like it's just stuck with me. But yeah, I know. I didn't know. Anyway, that was like, I don't know. In the back of my mind, I'm like, maybe I can do like what he does, because like I can create like those types of like beats and songs kind of on the spot. I don't have like the sexual appeal that he does. Like, he's in his own he's in his own fucking world, and he is amazing. But like, there was a part of me that's like, maybe I can create some sort of like solo act, or like bring in a couple people to do like, I don't know, something. I don't know where this is gonna go. And then all of a sudden, you know, TikTok happened, and branded content TikToks happened, and that's where this was all born. So
yeah, I wonder if this was any one of the three of us, if this is what we thought it was going to be. I think all three of us were like, well, so what am I going to do? How am I going to like make this happen? I don't think any one of us thought it was going to be this, but it just sort of goes the way that it goes. It's nice to know that if it all goes tits up, we can always start a band. So that's always nice to have that in the back pocket. Wags, you can sing for us, or I don't know. Do you play any instruments, Kristen?
I do sing, and I also have a recorder here that I don't really use, but I have it. And I do play the guitar every once in a while, but I really just learned four notes to be able to, like, if somebody asks me if I can play, I could be like, yeah. And it's those four notes that you can use to literally play any song ever.
We're good to go. If you can learn C, D, G, E, we're good.
I got those. Yeah. I have E minor, two in my back pocket.
E minor, shit.
Oh my
God.
So I can do sad songs too.
Okay, yeah, E minor. We're good then.
Fuck this company. We're starting a band now.
Okay,
we're going to do this.
Yeah, sorry. This is actually about a band. I'm totally good with switching gears. In the internet age, you have to be adaptable.
Yeah.
We're the same name. We might as well keep the name and just start a band called Creatorhood LLC. And okay, Kristen, you and I got the memo. Sorry, I guess John didn't see that we're trying to go sleeveless today, but it's okay.
Yeah, guns out.
Sun's out in LA. John's not here, but that's why we got the guns out. Kristen,
look,
we got another East Coaster here. So both of you are East Coasters, right? Originally. I'm not. I've lived on the East Coast, but I'm not from there. But yeah, tell me about yourself, Kristen.
Well, this is my first podcast, so I will do what everyone does on a podcast and say, thanks for having me on, Austin.
I'm going to edit that out.
Can't wait. I grew up on the East Coast in New Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl. I was born and raised in Denville, New Jersey, which was like cute. It's not like small town energy, and it's definitely not quite Jersey Shore energy.
Denville? I would say
Denville, New Jersey.
Wow, never heard of it.
Yeah, it's like definitely a hipster.
How far from New York City is Denville?
40-ish minutes, depends on traffic.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So, which kind of leads me into my my track onto this crazy thing that we're doing. When I was like 4 or 5, I went to a wedding for like an extended family member who was like some Jehovah's Witness thing. I don't know what religion it was, but the whole base of the religion is they're not allowed to celebrate anything. So we went to this wedding and it was like super boring. And I started telling knock knock jokes like at the dinner, and some like random lady walked up to my mom and was like, your kid is so funny, you should get her an agent. And my mom was like, okay. So she went on like whatever internet there was at the time in like 2002 and was like, New York City agent, top whatever. Or I don't even know if the internet was a thing. Maybe it was a phone book. And she took me in to Abrams Artists as like a little teeny tot. And all I remember from the meeting is they asked me what my favorite food was. And I said, mac and cheese with milk. And the lady who is now still my agent, I'm 24 years old now, so she's like a second mom.
Wow.
She was like, so you put milk in your macaroni and cheese? And I started laughing hysterically. I was like, girl, no, like you have to put your milk in a cup and then you drink it with your mac and cheese. And the woman was like, hey, your daughter's signed, like love her.
She leaned forward. She said, what is your favorite food? And you said mac and cheese. And she leaned forward and she said, look at me, kid. Look at me in the eyes. And you went, yeah. And she goes, I don't know what it is, but you have got it.
Got it. I had like these stupid little pigtails and like the little bangs too. So like that. And I was a freckly kid. So it was definitely, it was that. And then I booked the first commercial I went out on, which was for Office Depot. And I was playing a little adult version of a child. So I was like, had a little blazer on and like dropping a phone being like, oh, I got to get a cordless headset from Home Depot.
Okay. This is actually really crazy because the overlap in all three of our stories. So first of all, John was telling his story and I was like, wow, we kind of have a very similar trajectory of like musicians. And then like everything you were saying, John, I was like, wow, this is, I'm really relating to this, like family growing up, doing music, things like that. But then Kristen, you're talking and I'm like, no, okay. I also got an agent when I was very, very young. They're still my agent. I've been with the same agent for 25 years. I booked the first job that I went on an audition for. I booked the first. So like the overlap with the three of us here is now coalescing at this time. It's very interesting. This is all, keep going.
Magical. Yeah. Well, also, John, to your story, I also was just thinking, like, you're kind of the Billie Eilish of TikTok. Like, you know, Billie Eilish just has a super magical, like, musical family, and she just, like, lives in her house and, like, does her music and is famous. I feel like that's you.
That's but basically anyway. How famous you are, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You're I know. Thank you.
It's like Eilish.
I agree.
John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then at some point I started singing and then I did some community theater and then I like scored an off-Broadway show in middle school, which was like lit. But then I had braces and I got really ugly and I got really self-conscious. I had like a crazy overbite. And then my agent was like, your kid can't work. She has braces. Cause keep in mind, it's like 2007, like pre like acceptance. So it was like, if you're a child with braces, you're essentially like not a cool enough child to be working at all. So I kind of like grew up like knowing that I had like skills in my back pocket to like be talented and work, but I just like had that self-consciousness always of like, oh, like I don't want to quite put myself out there because I know I'm probably not going to get the job. But if I try really hard and everything aligns, I could, right? So then I go to college for acting, for film and TV. And that stuff like always kind of creeps in there. Like Pace University, I went to in New York City. Because I was always in and out of New York as a kid. So I knew I wanted to go to school there regardless of what it was for. I ended up living in New York for 7 years. But in college, like creating things was always a really touchy subject for me. And there were like four boys in our program who were like really bro-y directorial types who were like always making their own stuff, but they were really like clicky about it. And like, not to be like, oh, they like didn't really like when girls like stepped in. It just always was like, yeah, I'll cast you in my film as an actress, which is like, yeah, that's what I want to do. But also like, you never really got to have any input there.
No, and yeah, you can say it. They were like, we don't want the girls to come.
Basically, that's like how it went. Without them actually saying it, it was very like, so I just always was like, I had these like ideas in my back pocket that just never came into fruition. And like, and then this is where the influencer-y stuff kind of comes into play, right? Is like, people ask me all the time in school, how do you do your eyeliner, Kristen? Have you ever thought about making a video on how you put your makeup on? Cause it looks really good. And I was like, I don't like YouTube. I don't really like those girls. They kind of freak me out. They're like, hey guys, welcome back to my channel. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So cringe,
right? You actually got such the right energy for like the TikTok video style of things, you know? So it was just waiting for the right medium.
Oh, yep. Totally. So then I think to like get as far away from that stuff as I possibly could, college was honestly like traumatizing. Like acting school is a very like dark rabbit hole once you like get into it. I ended up working in fitness, which was like dope. I like really came into myself when I did that. I worked at a boxing studio and I was like part-time when I started and then I ended up full-time for almost 2 years, like managing boxing studios, like boxing a lot, working out. But I picked up a lot of marketing skills there from like the back end because it was a startup. So I was like running social and stuff. So then when COVID hit, I was like, I know I want to do something that somehow blends creativity with this like marketing stuff that I like kind of know I can do. And I was just like on TikTok, just like everybody else. I had all these random skills and I had danced forever. So I was like doing the Charli D'Amelio thing where I was just dancing and doing whatever. And then once I like finally found my footing, it was really weird because that was when John reached out and I was like, please don't scroll past like the next 20 videos because all of the ones before that are going to be so bad. But yeah, I think I'm still finding my footing in the space, but I at least like know to use my own voice now, which is like really cool. And I've like gotten better at doing this through making terrible content at Creatorhood. It's great.
You gotta sort of, when people ask in my live streams a lot about it, about the process and like, how do you come up with ideas and stuff like that? I'm like, well, first of all, you have to, for most people, you have to be bad at it for a while first and just be willing to be bad at it for a while. Sometimes you have to go through like bad slumps and just sort of like work your way through the slump. Like it's like, I'm a sports fan, and like they'll talk about shooters in the NBA who sometimes go into a shooting slump and they just can't hit a shot. And it's like the only way out is just to keep shooting and just like keep throwing the ball at the hoop and just like keep bricking and being like, yeah, I'm going to make it. But yeah, I think that you talked a little bit about when you were young, like being exposed to the audition scene so early and being exposed to the world of just constant rejection so early sort of sets you up in this
thick skin.
Yeah, it's a gift. It's a curse and a blessing, because it's a blessing because you have a more realistic view of what this industry is and how it works, and understanding that like it's a numbers game and that you have to be willing to like play the numbers game. But also you don't have that. I feel like some people are like gifted with their ignorance sort of helps them, because they don't know how hard it is. And they're like, I'm going to go to New York and be on Broadway, or I'm going to go to LA and I'm going to be on a TV show. And then they do in like the first year, because they're just
and
sort
you're
of
like, what?
They're like, that's what I'm going to go do. And you're like, but don't you know that you more than likely won't? That it will take.
That used to be. I remember my agent told my mom this when I first started. She'll probably book one out of every 100 auditions she goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But now if you think about it, since the early 2000s, the amount of sheer content that's out there has quadrupled, probably more than that. And so now it's, yes, you can like wait for an opportunity for someone to give you that one out of 100. But now there's all of these other platforms out there where you can just go and take it and make your own thing and do that.
Well, look what we're doing here. I mean, like I didn't ever think that I was going to start being the person who makes the commercials, because I didn't have $100,000 to buy a commercial camera with and buy all the lighting equipment that I would need to make and produce professional commercials for big national brands. But luckily, the entire landscape of national marketing has changed because of social media, and all these brands are seeing, oh, I can do it for a fraction of the price by hiring these kids with their cell phones to make my commercials for me. And you know, like I think I was saying this to someone the other day that I was on the phone with, a potential client who I don't think he's actually gonna wind up using us, spoiler alert folks, but I was letting him know, I was like well, what's so cool about social media marketing is that it literally is like a fraction of the cost of what it would cost to actually hire a legit like company that produces commercials for television. And I don't think it's going to stay that way. I think that the price is going to go up as this becomes more of the norm. But right now it's like a great market for new businesses and small brands and startups to like get in while the prices are basement low, and get in and hire people like us to make your commercials for you.
And who watches TV? Like who do you know that's under 18 years old that watches cable?
Yeah, no, I don't have cable. I don't know about you guys.
And
but
if they do, who watches the commercials? Yeah. Who in their right mind doesn't?
You'll see commercials come out where they'll use clips from TikTok in the commercial.
Yeah.
But like it was always cool to like find a commercial on TV that actually was good. It was like a golden goose. There was always one like every month. You know, it was very rare that, you know, people would be talking about like a commercial, but when it happened, it was cool. So it's like taking that same type of, I guess, idea to TikTok and what we do. And it's like, yeah, we're trying to make it so that these commercials don't seem like commercials. But once they figure out that it's an ad for something, they're like, oh, wow, that's cool. Actually, I didn't realize it was an ad. And now that I know that it is, like, that's awesome. Now I'm going to support this brand. You know?
One of the first things we talked about when we were first starting it out, like from a creative perspective, is that there's nothing that makes me scroll faster on TikTok than someone being like, stop scrolling. You got to check out this thing that TikTok made me buy. I'm just like, oh, bye. But like, if I happen upon a creator that I already like and follow, and they're doing some silly thing, and I'm like, what is this? And then at the end, I'm like, oh, it's like they partnered up with someone. A, I'm happy for them that they're getting a bag. I love that they're like out there making money doing this. I'm happy for them. B, I might literally go check out the product just to support that creator. I might not even care about the product, but that's what's so interesting is that hasn't ever existed before where you're watching TV and like an actor who you're following is in a commercial and you're like, I'm going to buy this thing just because I like the actor. That's never existed. Like the fact that creators have the role, have the ability to be director, writer, producer, actor in the commercial and be the reason why it sells, that it's like, it's like when ads get a movie star to be in their commercial. Again, that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to hire those people, sometimes millions of dollars to hire those people to advertise Tostitos or whatever the hell.
Matthew McConaughey and Lincoln is my, who cares about Lincoln? Oh my God, we all care about Matthew McConaughey.
But also like, we don't know him. People on TikTok feel like they know us. They feel very, and in many ways, like they know us more than they know Matthew McConaughey because they can jump on a live stream and I will literally talk to you.
And so, there's a level of trust also because you watch their, with just the degree of content that's out and how often these people are posting. I talk about Tinks all the time. I think she's great. She's, if you go to her Instagram story right now, she probably has 20 slides of her just talking into, like you literally see their whole day, these people, or, you know, and I was like listening to Remy Bader on the TikTok podcast the other day with Kombucha Girl. And she was just saying like the world of advertising has changed where no one wants to see the frills of it all. Everybody wants to see the behind the scenes, but it's also just like that really makes you put trust in someone. So it actually will return on the ad because people will go and buy it, whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And if nothing else, it's like, it's just eyeballs on the product. And you know, like that's something that we also try to focus on is just like when we're building an account for a brand, but it's like, we're not necessarily trying to sell 1,000 units with every video. We're trying to just make sure that people want to follow your account, that they like the content that's being made. You know, I've never once in my life, called Geico to check out their rates, but I think that they got a hell of a team that, that makes their, these campaigns for them. I think if there's a commercial on TV that I might listen to or just stop and watch just to see what it is, it might be a Geico commercial, something like that, where I'm like,
Geico and Progressive, both. Progressive has been killing it lately.
Yeah.
Like that one spot that they have with the two young kids in the laundromat and then Flo pops up and just like kills the vibe.
Yes.
Nothing. Those kids are barely old enough to drive. Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's, anyway, you know, I also think another thing that I'm hearing in the in your stories and that overlaps with mine is I feel like there's this element of like needing to wait for the right medium to appear for the timing to be right. I feel like I've been trying to make TikTok since 2015 before it existed. And like I was using Instagram to make these little comedy sketches where like two people are talking to each other or what, you know, and it was also sort of a Vine thing, but it's not even, it's like Vine wasn't long enough. And I liked that Instagram, in order to compete with Vine, introduced 15-second videos. And I was like, ooh, I can actually make a little skit in 15 seconds. And then about a year into that, Instagram said 60 seconds. And I was like, oh man, it's on now. But still no one was using Instagram to make comedic content. It's like Instagram never really took off as a platform for funny stuff. Unless you were doing just like a meme account where you're just reposting memes, you know, just reposting memes from Reddit and Imgur. But like original skits never really took off on Instagram. And my stuff was too short for YouTube and not really the vibe on Instagram. And it felt like the thing I was trying to make was a TikTok. And it just didn't exist yet, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that a little bit happened with all three of us where it was like all the things that we do were best suited for this thing that didn't exist yet.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. No, because I was finding some of the earlier skits that I was doing, I mean, granted, like my ideas are always like you and me, Austin, like we're the same, you know, in terms of like some of the content that we make personally. It's like our ideas are so long winded and like, you know, minutes long, and we have to force ourselves to cut it down to a minute. Well, I mean, now we're all allowed to like make, you know, longer than 60-second videos on TikTok. But like for a while it was, you know, that's exactly what it was. It was like, as soon as TikTok started becoming more of just like a Gen Z dance type app, you know, it started to become less cringy and more available to, and more universal. And so that's when I'm like, okay, well maybe this actually is a decent platform to do the type of stuff that I want to do on. And so that's just the type of skits that I started making. I'm like, okay, comedy skits with a little bit of like my musical background. Sure, let's try that. And then it happened to work. Yeah, but like it's crazy. It's really just wild to look at how TikTok came about. You know, and at first I remember a couple of years ago when it started like popping up on like, I think my Facebook feed or something, like TikTok ads were popping up. And I'm like, this is, it was that initial, like they're trying to be Vine, but they're not. And everyone's hating on TikTok because it's not Vine and it's super cringe. I just remember like hating it so much. I'm like, I'm never going to get on TikTok.
Oh, it was everyone was just dunking on it. Everyone was just making, because it was a lot of teenagers doing the lip syncing thing where they were lip syncing scenes from TV shows.
Because it stemmed from Musical.ly, which is like my kid, Jacob Sartorius, who I just was like, this is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't mean to tell me that this kid is going to make as much money as Justin Bieber is someday from lip syncing Justin Bieber and looking like a 10-year-old is like, what? And so that transition, I think everybody just thought that TikTok was the same exact thing as Musical.ly. And for me, I was like, there's just a bunch of 10-year-olds on here. Like, it feels very middle school. And also, I didn't get it. But for me, what actually drew me to the app to be an audience member was the dog content, interestingly enough.
It was the food content for me.
Yeah, it had, it just elite, like, random. And it's funny because even though we're all in kind of, like, the advertising shitty commercial space and, like, comedy space, the For You page is really, really tailored. Like, if you like food, if you like dogs, if you like to watch people decorate cakes, like, it knows. It will show it to you.
Well, that's why the take now, whenever I hear a take from someone, and I get, you know, I get people in my comments all the time on, like, Instagram and Reddit and Twitter who are, like, who will, like, try to make fun of me for being an adult on TikTok. And they'll, like, be like, oh, well, you're the adult who's making TikToks. And I'm like, oh, that's so outdated, that take. Like, you're like, 2 years late. Like, it's been a while now since TikTok has been a kids-only space. Like, it's, if you go on there, you'll see that there's actually millions of adults making content for adults. And, in you know, like, it's been a minute since it was just kids doing dances and lip-syncing TV shows. Like, it's...
And also, all the trolls on TikTok are adult people. Every time I get a hate comment that's, like, stupid, I click on the page and it's, like, someone over 40. I'm like, okay, so you just literally sit on here and just hate on all the people you wish you were when you were in your 20s. Sorry.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah.
Haters to the left.
So incredibly true, though. Oh, my God.
I was saying today on, I went live right before this to be like, 200K, let's do it. But I was saying, I was like, I want to get so many followers that my comments are more hate comments than like comments. I feel like there's like a tipping point where people get so popular that like more, the comments are more people being like, how is this popular? How is this person popular? Like, this this person sucks.
You'll get
probably
there.
500K.
Oh, I feel like you have to be like at least like 5 million before that happens. You know what I mean? and then it's like, unless you're a woman, I guess.
Like, you can be controversial though. Like, you've definitely posted things that are controversial.
Yeah.
It just like, it depends on when you reach the tipping point of like, oh, you know.
Well, it's like, I almost feel like the Paul brothers are more famous now for being like hated than they are for being good at their jobs. Completely. You know, like they're more well known for being people that everyone that you ask, that if you ask 10 people, do you like Logan and Jake Paul, you'll probably get 10 no's. And
and to some degree, you have to wonder with them too, is like with cancel culture there, I think after last year and everything, like I think people are a lot more aware before they just start throwing around the word, oh, he's canceled, she's canceled, whatever. But with them, it's like, I think really there was a certain degree to where they were like, if we don't turn this into a brand, we're not going to come back from it. So it's like, are they smart and doing this on purpose, or are they truly just two young, really dumb kids who happen to have an audience who is very young that continues to push them into the mainstream? But I'm like, I wonder if they used that to create this sort of problem child mentality to be like, cool, so if we're going to be in the media and we're going to be hated, we might as well make it loud.
100%. Like, I have no doubt about that, that they are literally like, they know what the brand is, they know what the vibe is, and they lean into it, you know? Like they embrace that, they, you know.
If they were to go any other direction, it would be like, what? No, forget that. Not interested.
If it tried to be like, you know, Logan Paul's like, you know what, I've gotten actually really into yoga lately, and I'm just going to start doing like I'm going to release a meditation app, and I'm going to start trying to be a spiritual teacher. It'd be like, no way, man.
No.
Like,
nope.
No. Yeah. Like the funny enough, like the boxing thing is actually kind of perfect for them. It's kind of like, yeah, you should be like people who are like getting into fights with retired athletes in different sports and like doing weird stuff like that.
That Triller, I'm really glad that Triller really never had its moment, because did you guys ever try to use Triller?
No. What is that?
Honestly, and I'm not here to bash Triller. I think they now know what their space is with this like running boxing and like being the like scrappy kid of the internet. First of all, the quality of the videos is terrible. It looks like everybody has an Android, including the people that made the app, just made it on an Android. Like, it's so bad. And it's just like that same kind of musically vibe, but it's for like choogy adults. I'm going to bring the word choogy back into the conversation.
Choogy.
It's kind of outdated. It's like the adults that miss the boat on Musical.ly, who like want a place to do it other than their Instagram story.
Choogy.
Okay. Choogy.
Choogy.
Choogy Triller.
Total choogs.
Mm-hmm. Isn't choogy already choogy?
Choogy's choogy already.
Yeah. I made a video on foods that I think are choogy, and I was like, am I choogy for making this video? Hell yeah.
Wow. So fast. That was the funniest part about Nina's meme gallery thing, where she's like, I am being told by the kids that this is already out of date.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really spot on. So getting back into what it is that we do, here's a question. Are we just like wrong, and this is like a flash in the pan fad that like right now, because TikTok's having like a hot moment because of the pandemic, people are going to these creators who, because sort of what happened, it feels like a lot last year, is TikTok was a place for maximum discoverability, and people like ourselves who had sort of been struggling to find an audience all of a sudden had more of an audience because of TikTok and because of the For You page and because of all of that. And it created this place where like all of a sudden all these people were like, oh, I can be a mid-level influencer. Like brands want me to sell their thing. They're going to send me it with my 50,000 followers or with my 20,000 followers. They're going to send me stuff. Like, really? I thought I had to have millions of followers. I'm not going to get invited to VidCon anytime soon, I'm sure. But like, you sort of have this middle class cropping up. Is it a fad, or do you feel like this is going to be more and more the way that things go, that like brands are going to be looking to utilize and kind of cutting out the middleman of like auditions and agencies, but just going straight to the source and being like, hey, would you want to create some sponsored content for us? And I don't know, you know?
Yeah. I think about this a lot. I don't know. It's so interesting. I'd like to think that like TikTok is going to be around for a while, but there's always going to be something else that's going to try and compete with it. But like, that's the thing. It's like they're constantly changing their algorithm too. And they're constantly like, especially with, you know, both of you who post more often than I do, that like you'll just have random videos that pop off and then others that you would expect to pop off just don't. And you're like, well, what the, like that has not, that has, that can't have anything to do with me. It's got to have something to do with the platform and with TikTok and however this works. And it's like, it's a little worrisome for some creators because, you know, and you have examples too, Austin, of other people who have like, who are doing so well and then it just stops. And it's like, well, it's not that their talent went away. Like talent doesn't just go away. It's not, has nothing to do with them. You know, it's just something happened that was out of their control. And much like your video that you just did, it's like TikTok can easily strip away, you know, just someone's, you know, I don't know, someone's like momentum as easily as they gave it to them. So I don't know if that's necessarily what you're asking, but I think for like creators, it's like, yeah, it's been this really awesome opportunity for people to gain a following and to like take their passion and potentially monetize it. But it's like eventually all of these big corporations and like all of these, you know, greedy mindset type people like are gonna start tapping into this and be like, whoa, hold on, we can't let all these people, you know, figure this out, you know, we gotta get in on this somehow. And then it's just going to make it harder and harder for low to mid level creators to do this type of stuff. That's what I worry about. But again, I don't know. I also feel like with today's technology and all the resources that are available to creators, I think that there's always going to be a way that us and low to mid level creators find a way to make money, just because at the end of the day, it's about creating a following of real people who like what you do. And the more engaging you are with those real people, and it doesn't have to be much, it doesn't have to be like a, you know, thousands of people. As long as you have like a few or like 100 loyal people that want to see what you do, you can totally make money from that. It's just a matter of getting that following initially. And it's like, it's kind of up to TikTok right now for you to like, And that's what sucks, because it's great and it sucks at the same time.
We have no control over what videos go and what ones don't. And so it's always great when something's doing well, but you're like, I don't know why. I don't know if it was the time of day. I don't know if it was a keyword that I said or a phrase or the outfit I had on. It's really hard to track all this stuff. It just feels like sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't. You can go through months long periods where you feel like, I don't know what's going on. I literally can't get like more than 200 views on a video. What's happening? I've talked to people who have had this happen, and that's why that part of it, the audience and engaging with an audience and continuing to make content that they like, that's the part that feels very fragile to me, that feels like it could go away at any minute, which is why I think making something like creatorhood or doing something like creatorhood is a good move, because it's like, well, independent of how my personal page is doing, if I can establish relationships with a handful of brands and sort of have a body of work to show people and go, look, we can do this for you. This is what we can do. Then this can be a potential career path, you know, something that I can do regardless of how my personal content is performing, you know, because that feels like a thing that's so fragile and out of my control.
I think that's kind of why I came up with this idea too, to do this, is because I was getting these brand deals, but there was also a part of me that's like, I don't feel like I'm the right fit for this brand, or I don't feel like I'm good enough or like the right type of person to like execute like what they're asking me to do or like sell this product or whatever. And then, you know, it was just my, I guess, being hard on myself too. I was like, I didn't feel like I was a good enough creator to build my own personal brand too. So I'm like, well, then how do I guess, still make money or still like monetize this whole thing? And I'm like, well, there's all these other people who potentially could be better, you know, a better fit for this brand or these brands or whatever. And if I get a hold of them, you know, I'll gladly pass work on to them because, you know, in turn, I'm like helping the brand and, you know, maybe we could set something up with like all these other creators. And that's when this whole idea came about, because I'm like, I don't know if I can personally create my own personal brand and build that up to where I'm going to be this big thing, or I'm going to be able to sustain myself doing just my stuff. So, but I know that there's other people out there who probably could. And that's, the thing is, like, the whole branded aspect of it, the fact that brands now need to tap in to this new kind of crazy form of advertising, it's like, all right, well, there's still work for me. There's still work for me, even though I feel like I can't build up my own personal brand. So there's work for other people too, who are kind of in the same boat.
You know, what crazy inception too is, my boyfriend's worked in marketing for a long time, and he says this all the time. He said, creators are the new brands. Like, brands are not going to be brands anymore. They're going to come from creators. So, like, mm-hmm. it kind of is like you're putting your faith in these people to, like, start the next big thing. TikTok is not going to be around forever. I think, like, that was something that I came to terms with really early, is like, this is an amazing golden opportunity. And even if TikTok itself stays around for long, it's like Instagram now is a completely different app than it ever was. Like, Instagram was a great, fun social place. And now it's like, you're just on shop apps all the time and you're getting an ad every 10 seconds. So even if TikTok does stick around, it'll probably turn into something like that. So it's like, how do you take this audience of people that you have? And even if you're a creator that has 100 loyal followers, that's like all you really need is 100 people who, if you say, hey guys, listen, I'm doing this thing. If you can get 10 people to buy a t-shirt that you're selling or listen to your podcast or something like that, you know, you have something. It's just always finding the next lane for yourself. So, I mean, I'm at this point now where I'm like, I have 33,000 followers on TikTok, which in comparison to other creators is not a lot. But if you think about 33,000 people in an arena, that's so many people. That's crazy. So it's like,
yeah,
what do I do with that? And for me, I'm like,
Staples Center.
That's YouTube for me. Yeah. You bring all those people over there to your long form, and YouTube has been around forever. And it seems like relatively stable. So I'm like, until the next thing comes along. But like, I think we're all in a place where, like, because we are creatives, we've kind of been forced to adapt in multiple times in our lives, just kind of like taking what you learned, rolling with the punches, doing the next thing. It's mm-hmm. like, I think we're just using our tools to, like, be ready for the next thing.
Yeah. Just trying to find something. The whole goal, I think, of being like a freelancer and an artist and a creative person is like, you eventually want to find something that can be your job for like longer than 6 months.
Yeah. So, oh my God, it's a dream.
You know, and that's not a restaurant job or not, you know, like something that you can do that's why, like, you know, getting on like working on a hit TV show or something where you're like, cool, we're going to have jobs for 5 years at least, you know, something like that. But then you literally don't even know what you're going to do after that. But I don't know, you know, that's what we're always trying to do, is find something that can be a little bit more reliable than just gig to gig. So, you know, if you're out there right now and you're making content, you want to make content with us, hit us up and let us know that you're trying to make money doing this thing. Y'all think we're going to be doing this in a year?
Yes.
Yeah.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it'll look like. I think it will look a little different, but 100%, I think.
It's so funny because
I think bigger picture too.
There's still some major brands out there that everybody knows that just still aren't on TikTok. And it's like, I mean, granted, those brands probably are doing fine and, you know, don't necessarily need to, like, you know, tap into this because, you know, whatever, they spend however much money on other forms of advertising and that works. But like, at the same time, it's like, if you want to stay viable and relevant and cool to like your future consumers who are on TikTok right now, the majority of TikTok are the people who will be buying your things eventually once, you know, because they're all young now and, you know, starting to like buy things, but they're still not, you know, whatever. Like, then you got to get on TikTok. It's wild to me, like, you know, some of like the major players that just haven't figured it out
yet. Well, and creators too. I talk to friends who are creatives all the time who are like, yeah, I guess I should get a TikTok. And I'm like, you guess? I'm like, do it. Like, literally, where else right now on the internet can you have a better chance of just getting discovered than on TikTok?
Like, you still need time to figure it out once you're on it. So it's not like you're going to get on it, make a video, and be viral tomorrow. Like, that could happen.
Happens.
It's happened to a lot of people. But it's also like, for most people who are creatives, and especially for actors and actresses and singers, it's like, you have to do something else than just get on and sing a nice song with your guitar. Like, that's really nice.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. But like, what else? What else is, like, we want to know you. We want to know who you are. What do you eat for breakfast before you sing a beautiful song with your guitar to me?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. What were you going to say about big picture, Kristen? You were saying, I think big picture too. Dream big with me for a moment. Tell me what you got when you think best case scenario for creatorhood, big picture.
Like production company vibes. Mm. So like, yeah, we do ads now, but I feel like full-fledged production company, we work with creators to make whatever they want to make. They want to make a TV series for YouTube, rock on. They want to create a TV series for something else to pitch it. Cool, we can do that too. You want to make a big budget commercial and use it for social. You want to make a big budget commercial and use it for your TV. I just like the idea of it being still that creatorhood, the neighborhood of creators, but we're just like here and we have the ideas and we have the sauce, you know, and
a movie made by creatorhood, a full length feature.
Like hopefully what happens is that it turns into, you know, we're not just doing stuff for brands now, we're doing stuff for the creators, like a movie, fuck it. We'll do it like a movie. Using the creators within our community, and it'll be amazing, you know, because, you know, there's so many talented people out there, which, like, if they come together in a community setting like this, what this is, and it's run by creators and not some corporate bullshit, like, then it's going to be good. It's going to be good quality
shit. And nobody's done that yet.
Well, and I keep saying, I think that part of what new media is creating is this thing where show business is going to change from a geo-specific industry where, like, you have to be in Los Angeles or New York if you want to be, like, an actor. You got to be in Nashville or LA if you want to do music. You got to be in Chicago or New York if you want to do theater. You know, like, these kind of things. It's like, I think that with new media and with smaller creation houses cropping up, it's like, I did this movie with a couple of indie filmmakers last year in Utah. And I was like, I want to support more stuff like this as much as possible, where indie filmmakers are trying to, like, get stuff made in smaller markets on small budgets, because we need as much of that as we possibly can have, where we're sort of making it more normal for people wherever they are to make the thing that they want to make, you know, and the tools are becoming more available, and things like internet content really show that it's like, there's just like so many people out there who have such great minds for storytelling and for structure and for this medium, who don't necessarily have access to hundreds of thousands of dollars of camera equipment, but who can produce something that's pretty damn watchable from their bedroom.
And to get these people paid. It's like, how many people do you know that make short films as a passion project and then they just sit? It's like, that is so sad to me. Like, you spend all of this time and your creative energy putting your heart and soul into something, but just because you don't have the resources to necessarily advertise or take it to investors or do this or do that, like, it just kind of, it's the end of the road. Like, that's it. I think just getting money back into the pockets of the people who actually make things is, like, super powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. It's a good goal to have.
It is a good goal.
Trying to build, I keep saying this year too, like, I like the idea of trying to build the middle class of artists, trying to create more of a middle class. Like, there, it's always been in the arts and in show business that it's like, you're either doing insanely well and you're like up in that upper crust of the very few people who have just made it and are making bank, or you're struggling. And there's not a lot of like middle ground. And I like the idea of people having like a sustainable, solid, reliable income, but they're not like crazy famous or super wealthy. They're just like doing fine, you know?
And yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
And that's a great way of life too, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of the, you know, obviously you guys know better than I do, you know, being in that type of business, but like the people who have made it a lot of the time are miserable themselves too. You know, they totally are. So either you're struggling and miserable or you're famous and miserable. I mean, that having like this kind of middle class where you're still able to do what it is that you love to do, but you have time to like enjoy other little things in life. You know, that's kind of cool. And I haven't really thought about that until this conversation, and that's kind of fascinating. But yeah, it's that was an original idea of mine creating this, was to help out and type of like kind of build a middle class creator, because I mean there really isn't one. You know, that I mean now they're starting because of thanks to TikTok and thanks to, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, it's starting to come about, and that's really cool. And hopefully it keeps growing, and it will.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Me too.
I'm glad that we're doing this. It's the most exciting job I've ever had. And most exciting way that I've ever been able to make money, because it actually feels like I have some say over how it goes down, you know, and some kind of control. You know, I've always liked getting paid to act and getting paid to do creative things, but I've never been in this position where like we really kind of control our own destiny, and that's cool, you know?
Yeah.
So thanks to the two of you for letting me be a part of it with you. And
thanks for being here.
I hope we take over the world and give Jeff Bezos a run for his money.
World domination.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to happen. We're going to do it.
Yeah. I want people making videos about how we used to be this, like this, our humble origins. And then we just became these evil people.
And we have all of our screenshots from our early Zoom calls where we're all just like looking disheveled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are going to make movies and be like, they literally just did this on Zoom during a pandemic. And now look at them, you know, like talking about Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak in a garage, you know, like that whole thing. That's yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Crazy.
All right. Crazy, dream big. Crazy. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
Anything else you want to say?
Oh, I don't know. This is exciting. And you know, I was starstruck by you initially, Austin, because of the turtleneck and blazer video. But like, I was so excited.
I thought you were going to say because you saw my 1995 Arctic Circle commercial.
No.
Okay. Turtleneck and blazer is also big.
Yeah, turtleneck and blazer. Yep. But I know, and you've had some really cool people on this podcast too. And so when you wanted to have us on, like I was super excited. So
cool
thanks
people
for
only.
Having me on. Yep.
Cool people only at People Pleaser. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks, Kristen. Anything else from you? Did you also want to thank me for having you on?
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast, Austin. That was my influencer voice. Could you guys tell the difference?
Yeah.
I just got really close to my and really deep. I'm an alto. I guess just like make your people listening to this that are like on TikTok making stuff. Can you hear me? My AirPods like
it went out
you
for a
cut
second.
Out for like 2 seconds, yeah.
Went out.
I will re-say. So there's probably so many people or the people that will listen to this have some degree of TikTok experience. And I would just say, stop doing what everybody else is doing and do your own thing. Stop with the trends, stop with the sounds, unless there's something that you really feel like you have to do. But like you're doing yourself a disservice. You are such an original, interesting person who has so much fun to give. Even if you think you're the least interesting person in the world, I swear there will be people out there who will want to listen to what you have to say. So do the thing. Make the thing.
And TikTok is like the place that you, it's the place to do that. You know, if you're not on TikTok, then you should be. Absolutely should be.
Yeah. Yes. Even if you just want to be an audience member and a lurker, we need you.
Yeah.
We need you to just be there.
There's good stuff on there now. There's actual good stuff on there. Believe it or not.
Oh, I will opt when I'm trying to just zone out and watch some mindless TV. Sometimes I'll just opt for a nice FYP scrolling and just be like, I'm just going to watch TikTok for an hour. Yeah, you can. And it's it'll entertain you. So.
And then 3 hours later, you're still there.
And you're still there. And then you then you kind of are sad. And yeah.
It's another episode. That's part two.
Yeah. All right. I need to make more content for our company. So.
Yay!
Thanks for doing this, y'all.
Of course. Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, and go us.
Go team.
'Cause you got a small business, you got a startup that you want some content made for, you want someone to be running your social media handles, hit us up. You know where you can find me, at Your Pal Austin on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You can find John at Blonde Goblin, BLONDGOBLIN. Look up John Moon on Instagram or TikTok. Find Kristen Wags. Kristen, KRYSTEN _ Wags, WAGS on Instagram or TikTok. Check them out. And then check out our handle, Creatorhood. It's live now. You can check us out on TikTok and watch our videos and see what we've been doing. Go look us up. Go find us. Go follow our stuff and laugh at it. And then hire us when you need something made. We know what we're doing. We're good at it. We think we're kind of crushing it. We think for people who are brand new at this, we're kind of like coming in and redesigning the game, as it were. I have a lot of confidence in my new business partners. I think they're very smart, very creative, very funny people. We seem to have a lot of in common as far as our personal tastes and our sense of humor go. And even though I've never actually met them in person, we've never actually been in the same room physically. We were fast friends, and I trust these people, you know? So let's go to the TikTok. How about it? We're here. We're live on TikTok. We got people in the room. We got Sweet Mama J here. We got It's Quell here. We got Melanie Quinn here. We got Sarah Smart here. We got all of our faves in the chat. Let's see what they're thinking on TikTok. If you want to participate in this segment of the show, we do it live on TikTok every Sunday. Normally, we do it at 2 p.m. Pacific time, but today I was a little late because I had a brunch with some AA friends. But here we are. And Sarah Smart has asked, and this is applicable because it has to do with content creation and kind of what we were talking about, but Sarah Smart has asked, what is your favorite TikTok you have made? That's a really good question. There's been a lot of them. That's going to be hard for me to answer. Is it basic if I just say turtleneck and blazer? The thing that's so magical about turtleneck and blazer is the utter lack of effort that it took to come about. And that's why it's so hard to replicate and to do again or to like recreate the magic, because the second that I'm trying to recreate the magic of something like that, I've already failed. The reason it was what it was is it was just there. It just presented itself. It just appeared one day. And those are always my favorite TikToks. My favorite videos always are the ones where like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Maybe I've got a list of like ideas that I want to try out. I'm feeling a little stuck. And all of a sudden some video just falls in my lap. It just presents itself. It's just there. And it's clear as a bell. And I do it, and doing it, making it's not hard. It's easy. It's fun. It flows out. And you just can't force those ones, you know? The thing about TikTok is I'm making new videos every single day. And yeah, they're not all winners. They're not all the best. But that's okay, you know? I feel like I have like a couple every week that are really strong. There's definitely some that I feel like are just so underrated. To answer that question, what's my favorite that I've ever made? There's definitely some where I feel like, I don't know why people aren't like more into this. My series with my therapist, I've always felt like is like very underrated. And I talk to people all the time who are like, that's my favorite thing. The therapist is my favorite thing. That's my favorite thing. And I'm like, yeah. So the people who know about it, it's like their favorite thing, but just not a lot of people know about it. It just doesn't get a lot of traction. But sure, let's say turtleneck and blazer. It's been the thing that seems to be the thing that most people can agree on. It's the least divisive video. You know, it's been recreated the most by lots of different people, and I've gotten to see like so many. It's been so fun and so rewarding to see people take this stupid tune that I came up with and make all these different videos with it. It's been amazing. So we'll say that. I'm hoping we can break one off in this marketing space like Turtleneck and Blazer that just sort of like happens. Chambers Riggs says, okay, just subscribe to the pod. We love it. We love to see it. Next up, Chambers Riggs, is you need to go and leave a 5-star review or a 5-star rating and a review, and then I'll read your review on the show and review you back. You know, you might want to listen to an episode or two before you write that review, but yeah. Melanie Quinn says, I would love to see you collab with PDUSA. I would love to see me collab with PDUSA. I feel like PDUSA is out of my league. It's kind of like when people are like, you should do something with Lubalin. I'm like, oh, you think Lubalin is taking my calls? You think Lubalin is responding to my DMs? No way, Jose. Is that PC? Is that okay? I don't know if that's okay to say these days. Let's change it to no way, Jeff Ray. Like Jeffrey, but with like I'm saying the name Jeffrey, Jeff Ray. I like it. No way, Jeff Ray. Problem is Jose has the O rhyme as well. No way, Jose. It's a person's name, you know? That's a name. What if I have a friend named Jose and I want to tell him no way? Is that okay? That also rhymed. See what I'm doing there? This is a question from Rule 408. Do you have a long list of TikTok ideas? Why, yes, I do. I have several lists, not just one list. I have a list of song ideas. I have a list of collaboration ideas. I have a list of skit ideas. And then with Creatorhood, with my business partners that I talked to on the show this week, we have several Google file documents of the different, we call them idea dumps. And we have lists of like 30 to 100 ideas for our different brands that we represent. And so when our creators that we source to make content for us, when they get stumped or when they get stuck, we go check the dump, like go check the document. There's 40 ideas just sitting there in a document. So if you're stumped, the other thing about TikTok is it's like the For You page is an idea generator. Anytime I'm stuck or stumped for a brand and I'm like, I don't know what to do today, I'll literally just scroll the For You page for 15 minutes until I find a sound that I think is funny. And then I'll like repurpose that sound for a quick, easy video. And it's great that that's encouraged on that platform. It's not like stealing unless you're doing it like that guy Newmain, who wants people to think that he came up with the sound because he's a weaselly little thief boy who no one likes. Sweet Mama J says, TNB was my intro to TikTok. I love that. I wonder if there's several people who got on TikTok because of Turtleneck and Blazer or because of one of my videos. I know I've had a few people tell me that they were like, I joined this just because I saw, like, you're not getting bullied on it, Twitter or something, you know? Yeah, but Melanie Quinn says, nope, PDUSA and you vibe all day. I know we're the right vibe. I know that we would be best friends. I know that if he were to meet me, it would be very chill. There's two problems that could arrive. One is that I wouldn't have chill because I genuinely, PDUSA, I think is my favorite TikTok account. I'm always surprised that he doesn't have more followers than he does. I think he has like 750,000 or something like that. And like, it should clearly be at least 5 million. But I feel like I wonder if I would be able to be chill enough around him to have a good friendship, or if I would just be like, hey, remember the video that you made when you did this thing? Oh, dude, that was so funny. And then we wouldn't be able to have a good friendship because he would start seeing me as just like a fan. And then it would be hard for us to collaborate because he wouldn't see me as an equal. He would just see me as someone who like admires him, which is what I am. But in an all things equal world, if I had never heard of him and we just like met each other through a mutual friend, yeah, we would be BFF for sure. And his style, like he's so funny. He's so singularly funny. People often say in my comments, they're like, give this man a show. This guy should have a show. I think PD should have a show. He should have a TV show where he plays all the characters, and I would watch it. I would subscribe to a streaming service to watch that show. Sarah Smart asks, are you going to Zoom us? Awesome. And what she means by that is, am I going to Zoom my Patreon patrons? And the answer is yes. I would like to, for anyone who wants to, have a monthly Zoom meetup for my Patreon patrons. I like going live and I like responding to people's comments on the lives, but one thing I realize is like, I don't really know what any of you look like or sound like, and I want to like hang out and see your faces. And so, yeah, once a month, I think we're going to have a Zoom meetup, and that's something that you get if you want to be a patron of this show, is you can come to the Zoom meetup and hang out and you know, you can talk for a while instead of me just talking. And Sweet Mama Jay is saying, new to Patreon, can you give me more details, please? Sure. There's three levels at which you can subscribe, $4, $7, or $10 a month, or you can create a custom amount if you want. But those are the three levels that I've set. They're the three tiers. They come with different perks, each one of them. I think that the biggest perk is just that you get to have the satisfaction that you are a producer on these multiple things that I do, my content, my music, my videos, my podcast. You get to know that you're making that happen, that you're making it possible for me to continue to do that. But outside of that, there's the Zoom hang. There's at certain levels, there's discount codes for merch and new music. There's free stuff. There's birthday calls. There's shout outs on the podcast. There's different perks that you can get at different tiers. Yeah. So that's a little bit about Patreon. Lady Ems asks, who's your favorite? Do you mean my favorite TikToker? Let's say PD USA, because we were there. Let's just say that. I have a lot of people that I feel like should be more popular. There's all these accounts that I watched get really big really fast, and then they stopped, and I don't understand it. Rocky Patera. Does anyone follow Rocky? Rocky's Road? Rocky was like skyrocketing up. Back when I was at about 10,000 followers, Rocky, I found Rocky's account and he had about 1,500 followers. And then I watched Rocky shoot past me up to like 20,000 in a matter of a couple weeks. And I was like, whoa, this guy's on fire. And then he blasted up to like 70,000. He had this huge song called I'm an Accountant. And he also did this series where he was Lin-Manuel Miranda rapping. And like, he's so talented. Very, very talented songwriter and actor and like really funny. And his account just like stopped growing at 70,000. It just stopped dead in its tracks, and I don't get it. I don't get what happened. I'm sure he's equally confused because he's incredibly talented. Maybe he just doesn't have as much time for it as he did when it was first kind of like on that upward trajectory. But yeah, I encounter people like that all the time where I'm like, why did it stop? You know? Base Nectar 2020 said, you should think about hosting a podcast. I'm not sure if your comment is facetious, if you're like just joining, because I don't recognize your screen name. I've never seen you before. But if you don't know, you're at my podcast right now. This is it. It's happening. You are currently hearing my podcast be recorded live. It's called People Pleaser with Austin Archer. You can get it most places where podcasts are available. Yeah. Sarah Smart says, you should interview Mary on a podcast, referring to my partner. And I absolutely could. And I absolutely have. You should go back. It's actually one of my favorite episodes ever of People Pleaser. Mary was on an episode called Fairy Tales with Mary Neville. You should go back through the archives of People Pleaser episodes and find this episode. Do yourself a favor. Listen to Fairy Tales with Mary Neville. Mary talks to me about her love of fairy tales and her process of writing fairy tales. She's been writing this series of modern fairy tales, these short stories, and she reads one live on the show, and it is such a gorgeous story. It is such a gorgeously written story. Many, many people who listened to that episode reached out to me and told me that it had them in tears, that they were walking around their house listening to it. They couldn't stop listening to it, and that they were crying. So you should go check that out. Okay, now I see what Base Nectar's doing. This is really fun. Base Nectar just wrote, I think you're doing great. This live stream is small potatoes. You should really make a real life podcast. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like this comment. Sarah Smart says, the CDC announced you don't have to wear Crocs anymore. Hey, guys, the CDC came out and said that you don't actually have to wear cargo pants anymore. Did you know that? The CDC came out and said those pants that you can, like, zip and turn into shorts, that you can zip off the bottoms of the legs and you can turn them into cargo shorts. You can have cargo pants or cargo shorts. You don't have to wear those anymore. The CDC said that it's actually okay if you don't wear those anymore. I don't know if you knew that. Anywho, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with my guests. I'm excited to continue working with them. They're good people, smart people, funny people. Look for us on social media, on Instagram and on TikTok. Look for the Creatorhood handle. We'll be coming to a social media platform near you. You can check out some of our work right now if you go over to like Mixtiles or SuperNow or Bottle Rocket Hot Sauce. You can see some of the stuff that we've made for other brands if you're interested in the kind of work we're doing. If you want us to make a video for you or a series of videos for you, hit us up. Let me know. Reach out to me. Get a hold of me. Okay, thanks for the questions and comments over on TikTok. Really appreciate it. The moderator for our TikTok portion of the show is Sweet Mama J. We love her so much. Go check out the Patreon, patreon.com/AustinArcher. People Pleaser is written, edited, and produced by myself, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or by looking up Austin Archer wherever you stream music. austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com, where all my music is for sale. All of my music and this podcast are mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. You can go to themarmalademusic.com and tell Chris that you're a big fan of his work over here on People Pleaser, that you love everything that he does, and he will give you 20% off your first audio project if you want him to, if you tell him that I sent you. TheMarmaladeMusic.com. Tell Chris that you're a big fan of his and that I sent you 20% off your first project. Okay, stay safe out there. Get vaccinated. We love you so much, and bye-bye.